Today, uncertainty rules as markets face a wicked new year. Hi, Guinness, Miles North from Digital Finance Analysis, one latest post covering finance and property news. And this is a weekly market update starting in the US, going across to Europe and Asia, ending Australia, and covering crypto and commodities along the way. 2024 ended up as an eventful year for markets, as many stock indices recorded sizable double-digit gains, though with significant volatility. But the start of 2025 could well mark a shift in tone, with the MSCI Global Index down 2.08% over the past week. US stocks were slightly in the red at the start of the new year too, encapsulating the overall market uncertainty about the short-term outlook. Inflows into US equity funds fell sharply in the week through January the 1st, hit by rising treasury yields and year-end profit-taking, along with concerns about a slower pace of Federal Reserve rate reductions this year. Data from LSEG Lipper indicated that US equity funds received just $490 million worth of investments during the week, significantly smaller than the $20.46 billion in net purchases in the week before. But on Friday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.8% to 42,732. The S&P 500 gained 1.26% to 5,942. And the Nasdaq Composite gained 1.77% to 19,621. Even so, all three indices posted moderate declines for the week, with the S&P 500 logging its third weekly loss in 4 weeks. The volatility index was down 10.04% to 1613. In fact, six of the seven mega-cap techs advanced, with Nvidia rising 4.7% and Tesla was up 8.2%, although Apple slipped 0.2%. Gains extended after Mike Johnson, an ally of Donald Trump, retained his position as Speaker of the House of Representatives in the first ballot, bolstering hopes that Republicans could prove more unified on moving forward with Trump's agenda. But of course, the tariff and tax cut talk has yet to play out. In a couple of weeks, we will see the first moves unfolding. US labor market data has been volatile in recent months following aerospace industry strikes and hurricanes. November data showed growth of 227,000 jobs that rebounded from a tepid rise in October. Meanwhile, the S&P Global Manufacturing Purchase Managers Index fell to 49.4 in December from 49.7 in November. And earlier, the Institute of Supply Management said its Purchasing Managers Index rose to a nine-month high last month, increasing to 49.3. That's the highest since March, but from 48.4 in November. And below 50, of course, it's still in contractory territory for the US. It's the sixth straight month, despite the prospect of improved new orders, low customer inventories, and the potential for tariffs to pull forward additional demand. Shares in US steel slumped 6.5% after President Joe Biden decided to block Nippon Steel's $15 billion bid for the company, citing national security concerns. And in a blog post, Microsoft President Brad Smith said the company is on track to invest about $80 billion US this year to build out AI-enabled data centers, to train AI models, and to deploy AI and cloud-based applications around the world. More than half of that total investment will be in the US. Seeking growth, some traders are now turning to last year's biggest laggards. Analysts are getting more cautious as global economic surprise momentum continues to the downside. Bank of America equity strategist Savita Sabrin said the firm's sell-side indicator, a contrarian sentiment signal, ticked up 33 basis points to 57 in December. That's the highest level since early 2022. Factor-driven Asia, Europe, and the US ended 2024 on a soft note, as expectations for the new year soured amid growing trade risks from a second Donald Trump presidency and China's fragile economic recovery. Trump's inauguration day on January the 20th is the next key date on the market's radar, potentially overshadowing next week's busy US calendar. Jefferies strategist warned that the US stock market faces mounting risks in 2025, driven by conflicting elements of President-elect Donald Trump's policy agenda, rising bond yields, and doubts over AI monetization. The combination of aggressive deregulation and tax cuts with inflationary measures such as tariffs and immigration restrictions could create volatility, while elevated equity valuations may struggle to hold as bond yields rise. The Fed, at its December meeting, lifted its forecast for expected inflation in 2025, paving the way for higher interest rates than had previously been forecast. After lowering its benchmark rate at 3 straight meetings, the Fed is now expected to pause its easing cycle when it next meets at the end of January, before making further cuts of perhaps 50 basis points over the rest of the year. But Wells Fargo said in a report that the Fed will cut the federal funds rate by 25 basis points in 2025 due to labor market weakness, and will deliver no additional cuts in 2026 or 2027. So no surprise then that US Treasury bonds remain in a structural bear market, with the 10-year Treasury posting losses in 3 of the past 4 years. Strategists highlight the refinancing risk posed by the maturity of 55% of US Treasury debt by 2027, while net interest payments and entitlement spending accounted for 95% of government receipts in 2024. The 10-year was last at 4.601 and the 2-year was at 4.287. Adding to the uncertainty, Elon Musk's appointment as co-head of the newly formed Department of Government Efficiency. Musk is tasked with slashing $2 trillion from the federal budget by 2026. Jeffries warns that if this initiative progresses, the economic impact could be severe. If Musk actually slashes $2 trillion from the federal budget, the market impact would be like a big rally in Treasury bonds and a big rally in the US dollar, strategists noted. But there is also a severe deflationary shock for the real economy, which in the first instance would surely be negative for equities, they added. This negative outcome could prompt President-elect Trump to reconsider such measures, given his previous inclination to gauge the success of his policies by the performance of the stock market during his first term. Now, there's another point of concern for equity markets too, and that's AI monetization. While hyperscaler capital expenditures are forecast to reach $222 billion annually by the end of 2024, Jeffries questions whether those investments will translate into sustainable profits. Moreover, strategists point out that the anticipated AI-driven boost to consumer devices, such as smartphones and PCs, has yet to materialize, dampening early hopes for an upgrade cycle. As a result, the AI narrative now hinges on potential productivity gains for corporations, though the tangible benefits of those investment returns remain, well, uncertain. The nervousness seen in stocks has also fueled demand for both the US dollar and gold. The DXY rose 0.87% over the week, though pulled back slightly on Friday to 108.94. Other currencies are getting crushed, with the euro continuing to trade lower at 1.0308 against the dollar, having reached a low of 1.0222, which was the lowest level since November the 21st, 2022. Parity looks increasingly more likely by the day, especially as the news flow from the Eurozone remains negative. The Aussie was languishing at 62.15 US cents, as I discussed yesterday, risks falling further, stalling prospective rate cuts in Oz. All up, the US economy is expected to grow more than it shrinks in 2025, despite uncertainties about the impact of trade and other policies that might be implemented by the incoming Trump administration. That's according to Richmond Fed President Thomas Barkin, I guess. We will see. In commodities, Brent was up 0.76% to $76.69 a barrel. That's risen 6% in the last month, while WTI was at $73.96, up 1.13%. Goldman Sachs says it expects oil, as in Brent crude, to peak at $78 a barrel in June. It currently has it in a $70 to $85 price range per barrel. We think risks to our price forecast skew higher in the short term, largely due to downside risks on Iranian supply. Gold futures February delivery was down 0.7% to $2,654, and silver was at $30.065 an ounce. In Europe, HCOB's Eurozone Manufacturing Purchase Mass Index, compiled by S&P Global, dipped to 45.1 in December, just under a preliminary estimate, and well below the 50 mark, separating growth from contraction. It's been there since 2022. In Britain, outside, of course, the Eurozone. Factory activity shrank at the quickest rate in 11 months, and firms reduced staffing levels due to higher taxes and weak foreign demand. Factory activity in Germany fell deeper into contraction territory last month on sharper declines in output and new orders, while activity in France declined at the fastest pace in more than 4 years. There was some good news, as the number of people out of work in Germany rose less than expected in December, but the European Central Bank, which cut interest rates last month, is expected to authorise at least 4 more 25 basis point cuts in 2025. Perhaps no surprise then that the broad-based pan-European Stoxx 600 index gained roughly 6% in 2024, but suffered its worst quarterly drop in more than 2 years from October to December. It was last at 508.2 as European stock markets closed lower on Friday, with doubts remaining over valuations going forward given the weak state of regional economies. The DAX index in Germany dropped 0.5% and the CAC 40 in France slipped 1.6%. The FTSE in London traded 0.4% lower. Most Asian stocks were higher on Friday, led by a sharp gain in South Korean shares, while Chinese stocks reversed some earlier losses amid fresh hopes of stimulus measures from the world's second largest economy. Stock markets in Japan were closed and will remain shut through to January the 6th, contributing to softer trading volumes. As a result, the dollar yen is experiencing more muted action this week, as market participants have reacted positively to both the Japanese authorities' verbal interventions and the increased possibility of a 25 basis point rate hike at the January the 24th Bank of Japan meeting. South Korea's PMI showed activity shrinking in December, and the decline in output was gathering pace, a stark contrast to better than forecast export growth figures that were released on Wednesday. South Korea's central bank governor said on Thursday that the pace of monetary policy easing would need to be flexible this year due to heightened political and economic uncertainty. South Korea's KOSPI snapped a 5-day losing streak on Friday with a nearly 2% jump. The index covered most of the ground that it lost this week. Amid an unprecedented political crisis, South Korea announced policy measures on Thursday aimed at attracting foreign investment to stabilize financial markets and to stimulate domestic demand. Those efforts come as the country grapples with declining consumer confidence and heightened economic uncertainty. The South Korean president has been impeached and suspended from office, facing charges of insurrection and abuse of power. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 was largely muted, and the Shanghai Composite Index inched 0.2% lower on Friday. Both indices were lower earlier in the session. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index jumped 1%. The People's Bank of China said it would cut interest rates from the current level of 1.5% at an appropriate time in 2025, according to the Financial Times. The central bank had lowered rates in September 2024, and government officials have signaled looser monetary policy in 2025 and have recently doled out a series of stimulus measures to boost its sluggish economy. China's president Xi Jinping pledged more proactive policies to promote growth earlier this week, and the Financial Times reported on Friday that the Chinese central bank is reportedly planning to cut interest rates from the current level of 1.5% at an appropriate time. Last year, top officials at the ruling Communist Party made a call to vigorously boost consumption in 2025 and to expand domestic demand in all directions. The outlook for oil demand largely hinges on the hope that China, the second largest economy in the world, can revive its economy, especially as there are concerns about a potential oversupply due to expected increases in production from non-OPEC countries. Chinese manufacturing activity grew at a weaker than anticipated pace in December, suggesting that the impact of recent stimulus measures, though, is waning. The KSEN S&P Global Manufacturing PMI for China nudged down to 50.5 in December from 51.5 the previous month. India's manufacturing activity grew at its weakest pace in 2024, according to its PMI. Although the South Asian economy's factories continue to outperform regional peers, reporting uninterrupted expansion for the past 3.5 years, Nifty 50 was down 0.76% on Friday to 24,004. Australian shares shrugged off a decline on Wall Street to close higher on Friday, buoyed by a rally in energy stocks. The ASX 200 closed at 8,250.5, up 0.6%, and the All Ords closed at 8,511. On Thursday and Friday, the benchmark paired back earlier losses in the holiday-shortened week for a flat four-day return. 10 of the Australian stock market's 11 sectors closed higher on Friday, led by energy and real estate. The energy sector rose 4.5% over the week after the price of Brent crude topped a two-month high on Friday. The ASX's uranium sector, used to power nuclear energy, advanced after the Canadian uranium giant Cameco announced production was suspended at its Kazakhstan-based uranium plant. The resources giants, though, fell after iron ore futures hit a six-week low in Singapore. The February iron ore futures contract retreated to around $98 a ton. The indices top performers were uranium miners Paladin Energy and Boss Resources. Paladin closed at $8.23, rising 4.3%, while Boss finished at $2.61, up 5.2%. Uranium miner Deep Yellow had the largest gain this week. The stock closed at 1.275, rising almost 15% since Monday's session. Oil producer Karoon rose 2.5% to $1.44, and Santos closed at 1.6% to $6.88. Both companies topped a 10% rise over the week. Warehouse landlord and data center developer Goodman Group powered the real estate sector higher amid thin trading. The shares rose 1.4% to $36.53 after analysts at Citi predicted an increase in the company's data center development in 2025. Gold miners also lifted the index after the precious metal rose as investors sought shelter from equity market volatility. Australia's big four banks all closed higher, with Commonwealth Bank up 1% to top $155.03 a share. NZ closed at $28.86, up 0.9%, and Macquarie was at $223.09. And as highlighted already, the Australian dollar was at a two-year low of 62.18 US cents. Ouch. Now, interestingly, Australian investors are looking to the US for better returns, with Wall Street-focused exchange-traded funds reportedly pulling in at least $5 billion from Australian investors in 2024, eclipsing the previous record of $2.5 billion set in 2021. That's according to preliminary data flows by Globex. The billions of investor capital flooding into the world's number one market represents a bet that US equities will continue to outperform their global peers, including Australia, for the second year running, capping a 23% gain in 2024 and a 24% rise the year earlier. The new ETF money brings a pool of Australian capital betting on the US markets through low-cost passive funds to a record $30 billion from $18.7 billion at the start of 2024 and $7.2 billion just 5 years ago. BlackRock's iShares S&P 500 ETF, which tracks the S&P 500 index, garnered the most interest, pulling in just over $2.1 billion from Australian investors last year, who sought access to stocks such as Tesla and General Motors. More esoteric offerings did even better. Van Eyck's video gaming and esports ETF, which offers exposure to developers like Roblox and Nintendo, returned 62.6% in 2024. Global X's 21 shares Bitcoin ETF topped that, jumping 146% as Bitcoin surpassed the $100,000 in December. In fact, the back-to-back strength marked the best two-year returns for the S&P 500 since 1998, exceeding 50% compared to 15% for Australia's S&P ASX 200 index over the same 24-month period. But be warned, Sonny Bangier, portfolio manager at global equity investor Blackwattle Investment Partners, said the fate of the US share market in 2025 will once again swing on the competency of the Fed to manage a soft economic landing. The tagline for 2024 really was, "Don't find the Fed." But I think over Christmas, something's changed, he said, pointing to revised rate forecasts from the central bank, which points to a shallower easing cycle in 2025. And meanwhile, cryptocurrencies are showing some signs of life following a semi-disastrous December. Bitcoin was trading at $97,771, and there was renewed interest in a raft of crypto stocks, MicroStrategy and Marathon Holdings, H, leapt more than 13%, and IREN rallied more than 8%. Bitcoin is just 3% higher, with the other major cryptos starting 25 a little more lively. Lacking a new catalyst, though, those movements could be seen as a fear of missing out reaction following extensive discussions during the festive dinners about the explosive gains recorded in 2024. I'll be discussing Bitcoin on my upcoming Tuesday live show with Adam Stokes, so mark your diaries for that one. But more broadly, caution should be the watchword, as questions about market trajectory are mounting. I guess it all comes to the degree to which stocks are overvalued compared to future income growth. They seem priced to perfection, but perhaps perfection is overdone. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.